Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
The Mind, Body, and Spirit Show tonight, the hottest show in the universe. Welcome in to the light and welcome in to the audience. What's up, Scotty? How are you?
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste, Scotty.
Namaste, lady.
I love that music. I got a good workout in. Did you get a workout in?
Yes, I was dancing all over the living room.
Twirling your waist.
Twirl
for the girls. Twirl on your haters. It is Wednesday, May the 3rd. We are in the month of May, May 2017 already. April flew by. April just flew completely. It was like April the 1st. Then April the 10th, then April the 12th, my birthday, and then it was like April the 29th. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What happened?
Like,
what happened? Goodness gracious.
It seems like it skipped a couple of weeks.
Nothing happened. I don't know.
Every day.
That's true. Don't just live for the weekend. Every day is a holiday. Every day is a holiday. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. Tonight's satellite, speaking of gifts, apropos of gifts, we are going to finish up our discussion on numerology that you shared with us last week. Which your numerology that you shared last, the numerology you shared last week, has nothing to do with astrology.
All about
a number chart. And I like this numerology chart that you're working with, because it can help reveal like secret talents and help you avoid certain pitfalls just by calculating like your birth year or your phone number can reveal something about
your
you.
Your name and your birth date are most important, because your birth name never changes, and of course your birth date never changes. Of course your telephone changes from time to time, and your lucky day could change from time to time, but information that's from those two sources, your name, your birth name, not your everyday name that you go by, but your actual birth name and the date you were born, those are things that can never change, and they say so much about you. It's amazing. It's absolutely. I just feel in awe. I'm still reading my report. It's quite a bit
quite
to
revealing.
It. I haven't
quite
seen
revealing.
It. Yes, it's amazing. How do you know that about me?
And we'll have our spirit talk tonight. So all things spiritual, if you want to share some of your spiritual thoughts, what people call spiritual thoughts and the spiritual meditations, our ways, all things on the table tonight. I do have a question on the table for tonight also. The phrase being conscious, is it trendy? Because you hear so many people saying, oh, yeah, he's conscious now. Oh, that's conscious. She's conscious. You know? somebody on this.
No, so you see, I'm conscious.
Oh, yeah, I'm conscious. I have locks in my head. I'm conscious. See, my aunt, I'm conscious. I listen to Kendrick Lamar. I'm
see,
conscious.
I changed my name. I'm conscious.
I'm conscious. She conscious. I saw somebody post a picture of Rihanna on Instagram, and I think she had some tattoos. Rihanna had some tattoos of like some Egyptian hieroglyphics. And so the caption in the post, see, look, Rihanna conscious.
Okay.
I mean, he act like he had been in an argument with a few people about it, like, see, I told y'all. I do.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
I just want to know. Hey, let me know. It's a trend. Because I interviewed this other activist here in Houston, Brother Derek Muhammad. He covered a lot of the Sandra Bland case in Waller, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about that, and he had a very good response, a thoughtful response to that question.
What did he say?
So I don't really want to go into all the details right now, but what he basically said, that if it is trendy, maybe that is a good thing, because maybe we can pull those trendy people into the movement. It is a great organizing tactic, because it's called like the hook and bait. You reel them in based on what they like, and then you just get them hooked and engaged, and it's almost like they become addicted to it.
Okay.
So, I mean, not addicted, but part of their life, which that's what some people they really need to adopt that. Be active in something, in some mission, a fight, a struggle, whatever it is. If it's baking cake, and be a specialist in that. Mm-hmm. But I'm speaking in terms of the movement and the struggle. Find your passion, what area you want to fight for, whether it's human rights, prisoners' rights, slavery, the abolishment of slavery. Just do something, for God's sake. Anyway, because guess what? Tonight also we will have John McCaskill, and he will introduce his Rewardance grocery shopping platform. So if you want to receive some rewards with your grocery shopping, he'll be here to give us some information.
The new program he established himself. So I'd be interested to hear how that came about.
Mm-hmm.
Successful it's going for him. Seemed like it was really well.
Good.
Young entrepreneur.
Yes. So it may be something that some of our listeners are interested in, a platform some of our listeners may want to check out. And I think the website is rewardance.com. He'll share that with us.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, great. And also, our African spirit honoree tonight is Dr. John Henry Clark, so you want to stay tuned to hear one of his great speaks.
After feature.
On spirituality. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking all things spiritual tonight. So, So, Father Light, I know you have some hot topics that you would like to share on immigration and Ellis Island.
Well, excuse me,
for a hot topic.
It's not a hot topic, but immigration is a hot topic. And I found this little tidbit of, I call it satellite tidbit. It's like a, oh, by the way, or something to make you think about. Okay? So, and all this hoopla about immigration, Ellis Island in Upper New York Bay was the gateway for over 12 million immigrants from England, Ireland, Germany, Scandinavian, all those countries, coming into this country, USA, as the nation's busiest immigration inspection station. And this was from 1892 until 1954. Restrictions, religious laws, deteriorating economic conditions in Europe caused people to flee to the United States for a better life.
Oh, yeah.
Those who could work were allowed to stay, along with their hopes and dreams of coming to America. They brought with them many, many diseases, as many of these immigrants had never bathed in their entire life. When they were made to shower, many were afraid to get in the water as they were not familiar with bathing. They came from places such as England, Germany, Ireland, all these places in Europe. And on June 15, 1897, 5 years after the immigration station opened, a fire burned it completely to the ground. No lives are lost, but immigration records dating back to 1855 were lost in the fire. Who's who? In 1900, a new fireproof structure was built on December 17th. And on the day of opening, 2,251 immigrants were received. First and second class immigrants did not have to undergo inspection process because it was felt that if they were rich enough and wealthy enough to afford to be able to come over here and have all the money, they could just bypass the inspection. So they just brought along the diseases and filth because they had the money. So I thought that was pretty interesting with all the fences and things built up for certain other quote-unquote immigrants, how the ones from Europe came over back in the day up until 1954.
When 1954. They were
coming to the station. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing about Ellis Island, some of these same people that complain about primarily Mexicans coming across certain borders, when you ask these people where did their great-grandparents come from, they start telling you this little sad little Ellis Island story.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why I'm quite indifferent to the whole immigration propaganda,
right?
Because it's to me, it's like you close off borders for certain people, as you mentioned. When you have enough people in, enough of the quote unquote desirable people here,
right.
Or for whatever reason, you allowed a certain population to come over for work or whatever it is you were trying to do. Okay, because we understand how this immigration crap works. You allow these people to come over here so that you can pay them meager wages.
Exactly.
So anyway, please, give me a break. And so, so all of these people were able to come through Ellis Island. And once they came all over, then you want to cut off borders down here in Florida and cut off borders over here in Texas and now Arizona.
Come on now, give me a break.
It's ridiculous. That's why I just look at some of these people and say, where your grandfather come from, your great-grandfather?
Right. Yeah.
Where'd your great-grandfather come from?
Right.
How did you get here? They go to talking about Poland this and Poland that and Ireland this and Ireland that.
Ireland.
So,
right.
When you came over here with the potato famine, so you call it, and all of this. So, I just don't believe in, I'm indifferent to this whole border thing. I believe that people should be able to travel and live where they want to live, because this is supposed to be a free world. These people created all of these borders. We've especially as African people, we've always been traveling.
Always.
Immigrants, migrants.
Always.
Always. Travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just travel. Some of us were travelers, nomads.
Right.
Some people stationary. Some people, you know, we have such a diverse culture. Thousands and thousands of ethnicities. So... yeah, that's a good piece. So, like, quite often people don't think about the they overlook Ellis Island immigration realities and focus on we don't want these people coming over here. Well, that's fine, and I get that, but you know, like I said, especially here in the Texas area, when a war was fought for this land, and you practically stole this land from people that were
right
there. And now you're saying you don't want those people to be over here, their offspring to be here. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. So, Satellite, I want to share something. I have a few stories to share.
Okay.
Let me just get to my story.
Go right ahead. You have the floor.
Okay.
Don't have the mic.
Pardon me. Did you have any other closing comments on Ellis Island immigration?
Oh no. I knew you would give us a little history on it, the historian. So I just wanted to share that piece.
And as always,
no matter where, or to bring back to memory those who did know but forgot. Sometimes we get amnesia.
Yes.
But
yes. Mhm. And as I always say, you can YouTube Ellis Island Immigration. They have the short versions, the not so short versions. If you want a 7-minute synopsis, go on YouTube for that. If you want to watch, I think it's like a 45-minute documentary. Check that out. I would say check it out. Check that history out. That Ellis Island history. Now, let's deal with some contemporary issues. Alton Sterling, if people remember, Alton Sterling was a young man in Louisiana, in the Louisiana area. Louisiana, I'm trying to think. Oh, close to Baton Rouge, that's what I'm trying to say.
Baton Rouge.
The Justice Department has announced no federal charges. This announcement had kind of been circulating around over the past couple of days. So last year, Alton Sterling, he was, as some of us may recall, was fatally shot outside of a convenience store. Now, let me just say this quickly about this being shot outside these convenience stores. See, some people like, I think it's on a couple of gentrification documentaries, and I believe Jason Black's documentary, the one he's involved with, what is it called? Ethnic Cleansing, Gentrification, Ethnic Cleansing, American Style, I believe that's the title of it. When we have these incidents like these killings with people like Eric Garner being killed in front of these stores, and Alton Sterling, we know how we see some of these neighborhood stores. You know him. He sells CDs and he sells this and that and shoestrings or socks or whatever in some of these communities.
Right.
But once this gentrification move is made, then you have the community these new people moving in into the community, and they start calling 911, blowing up 911. Oh, they standing in front of the store. Hell, he's been standing in front of the store probably before your little young yuppie ass was born. And now you want to sit here after you disenfranchise our people. They can't find employment, can't get a business loan. So, I mean, you want to sell some socks or CDs or whatever in front of the store, but you want to call the cops on him for that. And see, then they end up being killed. Okay, so Alton Sterling was standing in front of the store. I think he was selling CDs. I'm not even sure. But remember, he had a license, I believe, to carry a firearm. But these old rogue-ass cops, as usual, ambushed him and end up shooting him. So there was officers Blaine Salamone and Howie Lake the second. That was July 5th, 2016. And so no charges, no federal charges. And I believe there will still be a state case, an investigation with a state case. Whatever. That's just talk. Just BS.
Yes, it is.
It's craziness. It's craziness. It's obscene and absurd. Let me move on to the next one. There's a case with Walter Scott, of course. A jury could not come to a decision that Walter Scott was wrongfully killed. His civil rights were violated. His human rights were violated. He was shot in the back while running. Jury can see the tape, the video, and I just don't know. I just really can't make a decision on that. But I bet if it was your son, you'd want everybody to say, oh, he killed
him. Oh, yes.
How dare you? How can you even think to say anything different? How could you rebuttal that? How could you argue that? Anything other than
clear.
He killed my
so
baby.
Clear. Mm-hmm. Running away. Running away.
Another one here. Let me see before our guests come on, because John will be joining us shortly. Here's this case. Now, Featherlight, I know how you've been an empath. This is a tragic case of a young 15-year-old. You may not want to hear this one. So, but I haven't heard a lot of discussion around this. Up until maybe yesterday, I think I did see a couple of our regular reporters speak on this Jordan Edwards shooting. He was a popular 15, cute little old baby, 15 years of age, football star, okay? He was killed after leaving a party with a group of friends on Saturday night. Kind of remind me of what happened with Jordan Davis down in Florida. Now, this Jordan Edwards, his parents, Charmaine and Odell Edwards, the family called him a loving child with a humble and sharing spirit. And his friend said that he just would light up the room. So what happened is they were at a party over the weekend in Balk Spring, Texas. And that is 15 miles. Balk Spring, Texas, 15 miles east of downtown Dallas. Okay. Now, remember now, let me walk you back, because I know sometimes we have these short memories and all. Let's walk this back. 15 miles east of downtown Dallas. Remember what happened in Dallas with the other police officer assaulting the little girl in the bikini at the party? McKinney, Texas.
Yeah.
Right over there by Dallas.
Right.
That's why I tell people.
Right.
You don't want to move over there. Don't go over nowhere near Dallas. And then your black folks want to move in the little suburbs of Dallas, you really catching hell. So, don't fool with Dallas. Remember the so-called shooting with the guy in Dallas, Texas? And let me see, the SWAT team and all of this, and you end up killing that young man. Anyway, I still clear of Dallas. I don't even fool with Dallas. So anyway, little baby, 15 years of age, they were at a party, and you know how parties can get with young people. So apparently some a group of kids started fighting or something, people began to leave the party. The police were called. So Jordan Edwards and his friends, they were in a car trying to leave from the party. This rogue-ass cop, I don't even want to call him a cop, terrorist. This terrorist, his name is Roy Oliver, takes a shotgun and shoots in the car with these teenagers. They were trying to leave.
A shotgun?
A damn shotgun. He had just finished firearms training. Now, that needs to be looked into as well, because every time these cops finish going through some kind of training, then they always come back and have an incident involving that type of training. Prime example, that little white lady cop that shot and killed, I can't think of the man's name, I think they were in Oklahoma, when she said, oh, he looks like he's on PCP. She had just come out of PCP training. So every time they bring their punk asses out those goddamn trainings, then they come out, it's like in addition to the fucking training. Excuse my language. So don't tell me that there's not a system to this. It may sound like I'm coming up with conspiracies and all of that, but just start tracking it. That's two right there. So just start tracking it and see how often. Yeah, just pay attention. That's all I'm saying. Maybe I shouldn't accuse them, but it's just looking suspicious now. And if I come up on one more, then I know that this is a practice. But anyway, back to the story, because we'll have a guest joining us soon, and we can pick back up on this. But so not only did he shoot into the car with a shotgun. You could have shot at the tire. You shot in the car.
Yeah.
Shot in the car, shot the baby in the head, in the car. Okay. Oh. And, horrific, horrific. And so then he turns around and lies in his report and states that he claims that the car was coming towards him in an aggressive manner. Well, they tried to attack me with the car, and I feared for my life. Come to find out, of course, the police chief, before even viewing the video, or maybe he viewed the video and just said, hey, I'm going to come out and say whatever to defend my cop. The police chief states that, he comes out and supports the cop. Let me just say that. Then, so the video from the body camera is revealed, and, of course, the children were trying to escape. The cop lied, so he's been fired as of now. His name is Roy Oliver, 37, and he was terminated for violating the departmental policies, even though the chief did not give the specifics of what policies he violated, but he has been terminated. But the family, of course, is distraught. The family and friends said he was so loving. He was like a straight-A student and a standout athlete. His athleticism was highly noticed. Football star, just like the other little baby down there in Navasota, Georgia. Football star. I believe there's something else going on with this, too. Are these other parents being, having something, look, how do young people say, feeling some kind of way because these young black boys are the football stars on these teams? And is there some type of plan to kill these babies? I mean, what's going on? People stop walking around in the days and start connecting the dots. That's all I'm saying. Just connect the dots. Just pay attention. That's why I'm speaking about these stories. Okay? Because it's so blatant. When you just look at it, it's so blatant. So it's horrible. My condolences definitely go out to the family. We'll have to pick back up on that. Let me just get ready to 1 second. And we're getting ready to bring our guest in. Mr. John, give me 1 second. Let me get your mic open. Let me get my computer to do what it needs to do. We'll bring him right in to speak on the rewardance platform. I'm so ready to hear about this. Let me get you in. All right. And there we are. I believe we have you. see. All right. That should do it. No, that didn't do it. That did it. Welcome in, John. Is that you?
Yes, ma'am. That is me.
All right.
Welcome, John.
Hi. How are y'all?
I'm great. Great. Namaste.
I'm well.
So nice to finally have you on the show.
My sister, it's good to hear y'all. Good to hear those voices.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Well, tell us all about this rewarded platform and what is this all about? Why should we sign up for it?
Why should y'all sign up for it? So I started Rewardance earlier this year, and what I do is I reward grocery shoppers. So once somebody goes into a grocery store, it can be any grocery store, even local. I got partnerships even with the local ones. So if you submit a receipt to my website, I will send you special deals from your favorite companies to shop at. So when you sign up, one of the questions I ask is, what are your three favorite places to shop at? Once you give me that information, I have a team that basically reach out to that company, and we make some type of partnership. And so every time you submit that receipt, you'll get special rewards, promotions, and deals sent directly to you every month.
I love that. That's like a specialized coupon service being sent to you.
Yes, ma'am.
So do they have to sign up? I mean, do they have to pay anything to sign up?
They don't have to pay anything. We do all the listing. We contact the brands. We work out deals with them, and we basically push that traffic towards them. And it's really a win-win, because one of the reasons why I started this company is because when I was visiting grocery stores a lot, I'm probably one of the most patient men when it comes to grocery shopping. I don't mind going to three different ones in the same day to get the items I want. So what I noticed, though, is a lot of women were complaining. I heard several women complaining about the crowdedness, the long lines, and things of that nature. So I created a formula. So how can I make their day better? You know, I can't control what happens inside the store, but maybe I can control their day after they leave. And so that's why I came up with the idea, and that's why I partner with brands. So if you hate grocery shopping, this is for you. But even if you love grocery shopping, it's still for you. Because if you go to Target, and that's your favorite grocery store, and you submit the receipt to me, I can send you an exclusive deal. Our company can send you an exclusive deal back to Target to get something that no one else has. So it's really an overall win-win.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so anybody, anywhere can sign up.
Mm-hmm. Anybody, anywhere can sign up.
There's no, like, monthly subscription fee, or is there a monthly subscription fee?
No, ma'am. Now, when we first started it, a lot of the guys was trying to do that, but I wouldn't allow it because I just didn't want them paying a certain fee. I wanted them, one of the reasons why I started this company is two reasons. One, I love innovation, and then two, I love happiness. Innovation to me is better change, not just change, but a better change. Almost like John Johnson, when he started his publication, look what the overall effect that had, especially on blacks now. He really paved the way for those publications. And, I mean, he did a great job at it. And so that's the innovation side. And the happiness, I'm a very happy guy internally. So I like expressing how I feel. And I want everybody to be happy. So if you go into a grocery store and you're not really having that great of a day, at least you know when you get home, it'll be all good.
That's where the inspiration came. You can go home and submit your receipt and say, hey, now I'll receive some type of rewardance for my grocery shopping. And let me tell you, John, I'm one of those people, I do not like going to the grocery store. I do not, because I just don't. But then I don't want a grocery store service like someone delivering my groceries either, because I need to walk around and see what's there and see the deals. So,
exactly.
Like you said, to be able to say, oh, okay, well, at least I can come home. And then I'm impatient, too. I don't want to stand in a long line.
and I'm not one of those people that generally will go to the store and just buy like a month's worth of groceries. I'm trying to get to the point where I can buy enough so I don't have to constantly go to the grocery store. But then now, look, you're almost encouraging me to go even more now, because see, now I can turn my receipt in. So maybe I don't even start like buying 2 weeks' worth of groceries.
And I actually made it to where you can all you have to do is submit one just for the month, and you'll get all the rewards for that month. So that way, I didn't want you going making 6 or 7 trips. It's only one. Now, of course, the grocery stores was like, no, they can go back 5 or 6, 7 times. But I stood my ground. I said, just one. I just want them one receipt. And so as it hits the month of May or April or July, just do one time and you'll have all the rewards. And if something changes, I'll automatically update it, so you don't even have to submit another one.
So when you say something changes,
what about
I didn't hear the question.
So when you say if something changes, like what type of change? Like a change in what your reward may come out to, or what?
So say the first reward you get, you might get a 10% coupon off any milk, right? So say Target, but you know what? Let's actually send them something better too. Let's give them a 50% off any clothes. Instead of having you go back to the grocery store and submit another receipt, I automatically send it to you. You don't have to do no habit update. And then I give you a notification through your email or through a text that, hey, some rewards updated. Check them out. You know, if you like them, do it. If not, just leave them there. You don't have to do anything.
Excellent. I felt like you had a question.
Yes. Now, I'm the type, like you, John, I will go to a health food store, then I'll go to another store that has something that I particularly like, which I know they have a better price than the third store. So then I go to the third store. I do all these usually in one day. So how is that figured out? I've had three different receipts around about the same time. So there's three receipts. I mean, how do you do that?
Normally, just one. Now, a lot of our customers submit 30 of them. We don't have to submit 30. You can just do one, and it will suffice. But it has to be a grocery store.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Has to be a grocery store.
Yeah, and there is some deviations, like Amazon and like CVS, Walgreens, mm-hmm. those types. We do accept those as well.
I do Amazon. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I do Amazon.
Since you accept CVS, do you also accept Walgreens?
Yes, ma'am. Walgreens, CVS, the local pharmacies. One of the reasons why we set it up this way is because, say, maybe a black owner may not be getting a lot of traffic or brand awareness. At least if somebody submits and say, hey, one of my favorite brands is Shea Moisture, I can now contact Shea Moisture and say, hey, somebody really loves your product. Send me something good. Send me something nice for them, and you'll have a lifelong customer. And then it can trickle down and constantly. So then they'll get known, and then somebody will say, hey, how'd you get that, you know, raw shea butter for 50% off? You know, well, I did a rewards program. And then it'll trigger, and then it can constantly bring them in traffic, especially brands that are struggling.
Exactly.
Right.
I love that. I love that concept. There's a black-owned grocery store. I think there are two here in Houston, one in Third Ward and one in Southwest Houston. So I can go to their grocery store and shop there and submit my receipt.
And it's, you know, when we reach out to these brands, it's very hard to say no to evidence. So one of the tactics we use is when you sign up and you say, hey, Target's one of my favorite places. Nordstrom is one of my favorite places. Macy's is one of my favorite places. We send the exact formula to them. We show them that sign up form, and it's hard for them to say no, you know, because the evidence is right there. So exactly. So if you, I mean, it can be any. That's why we let you pick. We just do the groundwork. So you pick which three you want, and of course, as we grow, we're going to make it to 5, and then 10, and then, you know, constantly grow. But for now, it's just 3. So we got to do the groundwork. We got to contact them. We got to find the people who makes the decisions. Mm-hmm. All that, you know, dirty work. So.
Right. Well, John, what if I choose 3 stores, and then say 3 months later, I find another store that's my favorite. So I said, well, I don't want so-and-so to be my favorite, one of my 3 stores any longer. I want to withdraw them and change to somebody else. Can you do
that?
Yes,
that is perfectly fine. We're actually working on a menu to where you can go in and change it yourself. Otherwise, you'll have to just contact us and say, hey, I don't want. And some have done it already. Some have to say, I don't want Nordstrom's no more. I want to do JCPenney, you know, and take advantage of, you know, the deals that they really enjoy and the places they really want to shop. Mm-hmm. Because if you just put random brands on there, they might not shop. But if you put brands they love on there, it's almost an automatic connection. And that's the happiness I was trying to bring, that you might not have a good time at the grocery store, but at least when you get home, you know, you can shop. You're in your comfort zone, you're in your home, and say, I'm going to get some deals, I need some more clothes, I need some more shoes, you know, depending on what you pick.
Hmm. Well, did this program, was it quickly grabbed by the sponsors, or did you have to really do some pushing? Did they just say, this is great?
Yes, the first reaction is always like, wow, how did you come up with the idea? And I kind of go into the story. But I'm a diligent reader, and so I was using different tactics to get to the decision maker. And then I used a tactic to where, and then I used a tactic to where I said, hey, if I can prove to you that these people love your company, will you partner with me? And so when they fill out the form, they'll say, hey, Nordstrom. They'll say, JCPenney, they'll say Abercrombie & Fitch. I bring that information and show them. I send it to their email and say, look, they like your place. This is a customer that likes shopping here. Every time they submit a receipt, what do you think they're going to shop at?
Right, where they
and that pretty much, and, exactly, and that was sold them.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any other similar?
Yeah, I'm on the web page. It looks very, very easy to sign up. A simple sign up, not a lot of difficulty. And you explain it here, the deals, where to submit your receipt. I see that. And so it seems like it's pretty simple. You just, I guess, you snapshot it and give me just upload your receipt.
Yes, one of my principles in life is simplicity. I love simplicity, so I try to put that into the company. It's really easy. All you do is snap your receipt, submit it on there, and we'll send you your rewards through your email.
There it is.
It's very simple. Very straight to the point, too. I love it. I'm looking at the website as well.
Yeah. So it's rewardance.com, and people can also follow you where on Facebook and Instagram?
Yes, ma'am.
I am going to follow you. I will follow Rewardance. I think I'll definitely sign up. Great.
And how y'all said, you didn't like grocery shopping, where, well, my manager that runs the Instagram page actually do funny grocery shopping frustration. So that might be a page you might really enjoy, because it's chock full of them, and I guarantee you can relate. So I laugh all the time.
Excellent. And how long have you had the program going?
I started earlier this year, so I think this is going on month 4 or 5.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations.
Yes. That is great.
Yes.
You accomplished a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Was it costly to say that again? Yes. But was it costly to get it started, to jump start it?
No, ma'am. I used a lot of... This is interesting. Most people, when they start a company, they immediately get the urge or the bug and they jump out there. They say, you know, fail fast, fail hard. I actually don't like that strategy. I actually like a strategy where be patient and learn, because whether you build a company or whether you do nothing with your life, time is still going to keep moving. So I disciplined myself. I believe at the age, I think it was 22, I said 4 years, 5 years from now, I'm going to start a company, rather than saying, I know I'm 22, I just learned about starting a company, I'm just going to jump out there and fail. The reason why I'm as efficient as I am, because I really study. I study the good side of entrepreneurship, and I also study the bad side. I don't believe diving into something blindly. I believe in preparation and getting the mindset prepared for it. So while it does look like I've taken off fast, I just spent 4.5 years studying entrepreneurship for myself. I was going to seminars, I was reading books, I was talking to successful people, I was reaching out, getting all the information I can, and then I launched. So that's why it's kind of going a little smoother than most.
It pays off. It seems like it's been a while. I didn't know it just started 4 or 5 months ago. This is fantastic.
Yes, now.
This is really good. We're very proud for you. Are there any other programs like this that you know of?
Not yet, but I believe once it really starts taking off, they're going to come after me. I mean, you know, you got the people that are going to emulate the model, but for now, I dominate the market.
Yeah,
they're definitely going to come. So that's why I'm preparing, and that's why I have you submit what stores you want to shop at, because I want your loyalty. You know, I want to assure, and that's why I would do the groundwork, you know, whatever company you want to shop at, even if it's local, you know, if it's local, you can reach out to us, tell us the phone number, and then we'll do the groundwork. We'll contact the owner, and we'll say, hey, this person really likes your restaurant. What can you do for them? You know, every month, what can you do something? Can you do something special for them? Free appetizer. The third meal's free, you know, things of that nature. And that's how we're going to grow more. It's not just focused on online companies, but also the local brands and the local companies that people really love.
I love it. That's a concept
that I definitely can appreciate, because that, been, like you mentioned, generates business towards the local mom and pop stores. So I love that, because I'm in opposition to like major stores that come and just decimate smaller mom and pop stores. So bringing that business back, that will help those business. I love it, love it, love it. What kind of advice would you give someone that is looking to start up a business and maybe have like a web business such as yours? What advice would you give?
I give usually advice, especially to the black entrepreneurs, and this can be towards anybody though, is be twice as good. If you think you have to, you know, study twice as much, study 3 times. If you think you have to be LaDainian Tomlinson, be better than LaDainian Tomlinson. Always double it. Because there's a misnomer with what people think entrepreneurship is. They'll say the laptop lifestyle, they make it look glamorous, and they'll be by Lamborghini. But there's actually 5 to 6 principles I always give people. Number one, for entrepreneur, learn how to sell. When most people hear sell, they think of a used carsman, a car salesman, and they're saying, hey, you know, that's not selling. All selling really is figure out how you can help somebody, like solve their problem, figure out how you can make their life more convenient, or figure out how you can create some type of perceived value. In entrepreneurship, most people think solving a problem is all what business is about. That's not true, because Starbucks is one of the biggest coffee companies, and they don't solve any problems.
Wow, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
We can have value to that cup of Starbucks coffee. Okay, yes, and number two.
Number two is endurance. Those 4 years took sacrifice. When I was in college, I didn't go out to parties. I didn't do fellowships. I studied, and I wanted to get better at life. And that was one of my principles, was personal development, spiritually, emotionally. Be the best version of you can every year. And so I challenged myself every year to know more and be more, to love more, to be more compassionate. And that sounds easy, but one of the principles I used for my endurance was on food stamp day, the grocery store, you know, is packed. So what I would do is I would grab one item and get in the longest line that the grocery store had. And I had to teach myself patience and endurance that way. So you're talking about one bag of Skittles with a grocery line, you know, food stamp, all the above. There's 8 to 9 people with buggies filled, some with 2. I would still get in the longest line and wait until it was my turn. And that's one of the things
what
I teach.
What a way to build patience.
I had to sit back on that one. Oh, my
goodness. I know you did.
That would be a class for me. That would be a class and a lesson on patience. I will write that one down and consider it. Okay. Number three.
That's all she's going to do is consider it.
I'll reach out to you and say, guess what? I stood in a line on the first with
and I'm gonna follow
a gallon of coconut milk. I had some coconut milk, that's it. And it took me 40 minutes to get out that line. No, see, I'm not even going to be 5 minutes at a time, because that defeats the purpose. Okay, alright, so number three.
Number three is, I say, focus on touch marketing. Basically, touch marketing is talk to your viewers in a way they want to be talked to. If your marketing, if you can't say your marketing out loud, then it's probably not good to put it out. So if I, you know, one of the questions I send weekly to my subscribers and people that sign up is, what is one thing that's frustrating about grocery shopping? And some of the common answers we hear is long lines, congested aisle, crowdedness, kids screaming, almost getting ran over by other guests. And so what we do in our marketing is we take those responses and we throw it back out there. So we say, hey, are long lines irritating to you? We'll get a reward for it. You know, are you sick of congested, you know, congested aisles? We'll get a reward for it. We'll reward you for dealing with that. So learn your lingo of your market.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Yes, ma'am. And the next one is build relationships. Notice I didn't say network. Networking, for some reason, people have a misconception of networking. Networking isn't hold your hand out and say, give me a job or help me because I'm asking for it. You know, building a relationship is having a personal response with them. It's really digging into who they are as a person while having a just cause behind it. It's not just help me, but let's you know, we have the same mindset, so let's fellowship with one another. It's not about you just helping me because I don't know what I'm doing, but in return, I can help you as well. So what can you do for me, and what can I do for you? That's building a relationship.
Right.
It's not just a handout, you know.
Right.
And so, and then the last one is have structure in your life. When I was studying those 4 years, I made a startling discovery that people who have structure in their lives significantly live better lives than people that don't. If you walk up to the random person and say, what time did you get up today? They go, I don't know, maybe, I think 12. I can guarantee, almost assure you, that they're not much in life. And that's okay if you want to be. But if you walk up to a Fortune 5 CEO, you don't know who he is, and you ask him, hey, what you do today? Well, I got up at 5:30 and I meditated and I read or I prayed. I did something from here. They have structure in their lives.
Right.
And as an entrepreneur, you got to have structure. There's so many things to balance. There's so much going on. You know, your parents still want to see you. I come from a large family. I have 11 brothers and sisters, 5 brothers,
wow,
6 sisters. So I'm busy all the time, all the time. So I have structure, though. The reason why I'm able to make time for you all, too, is because I know my schedule. I know everything is so concrete that when y'all reached out and asked, I was available. I said, I'm going to make time for these people. Only people with structure can do that, because if you don't have structure, you're going to end up missing the call or calling late or not showing up and being prompt. And so those are the principles I would give any entrepreneur to basically succeed.
And you know what? I totally can appreciate this one, having structure, because one of my best friends, who's a great business mind, once shared with me, if you don't set out each thing that you're going to accomplish in every hour of your day, someone else will.
Amen.
Every hour of your day. Or else somebody else will. Somebody else will fill up that hour where you could have been working on something that you know that you should work on for yourself. Someone else, they'll fill it up for you if you don't have anything in that little time slot. So, absolutely.
That is so true. And I guarantee you, if you don't know what you're doing for the next hour to the next hour, you're goofing off somewhere. Maybe Netflix, or television, or Facebook. So,
Yep, you're wasting. Look, I even write in my rest time. Okay, listen, I am resting from this time to this time. I will watch television from this time to this time, and that's it from there. And then I'm doing something else. So, because I know me, I'll get caught up in the time and doing other things. If I don't, I know how I am. So, because I have a million things going on. So, like you said, I have to say, okay, let me do this. Let me make my schedule, and let me try to stick to it the best I can. So, but thank you so much, John. Oh, my goodness. We really appreciate you.
You have
sharing.
Shared a wealth of information. Thank you so much. This is great.
I hope people were taking
notes.
And I have signed up while we were listening, signed up for your program, Rewarding.
Yes.
It's very simple.
That demonstrates that it is extremely simple to sign up. So, people sign up for the Rewardance program. So, John, people can follow you on Instagram. What do we look for? What, Rewardance.com on Instagram? How can we find you?
Yes, you can go to Rewardance. And actually, I'm really not like most business owners or CEOs. I'm very hands-on. So if you add me on Facebook or follow me, I'm going to respond to you. You can have a chat. I'm very hands-on, and that's what I'm known for. So they can follow me on Facebook. My middle name is Cornelius, so if you just put John McCaskill, you won't find me, but if you put all three, I will pop up, or you can add Rewardance. And I want to do something special for everybody that signs up, especially your listeners. And even though you signed up already, I'll look out for your name, but if they sign up, put the mind, body, and spirit when you sign up, and I'll do something special.
All right. So we can include that. Look, I'm including that when I sign up, mind, body, and spirit.
I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you an email with my name, John, so you know.
Okay. Perfect.
My little special.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much. Peace and namaste to you, John. Best wishes.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Have a great night.
All right,
you too.
Bye-bye. And that was John McCaskill with the Rewardance program. You can reward yourself by grocery shopping. Log on to the rewardance.com. We'll be right back. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show. And stay tuned after this break. All right, and we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. It is May the 3rd, 2017. And if you have not already gone on to Black Talk Radio Network to donate, please do so. You can donate to the Black Talk Media Project. And if you donate $25, you can receive your Black Talk Radio Matters t-shirt. And while you're on the page, you can also sign up for the new social media experience, BTR. Sign up for BTR Tuesday. Father Light, namaste.
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 That was an interesting guest.
Yes, yes, the rewardance program. You can sign up and save. Well, not necessarily save, but you can receive some rewards from your grocery shopping. When you go and, as they say here in Texas, make groceries, then you can just submit your receipt, and some of your favorite stores where you shop, you can receive a reward, some discount. So,
yeah. So it is saving, really.
Yeah, you're saving.
It is saving.
Saving some money on the back end. Mm-hmm. And there it is. There it is. Feather Light, if you don't mind, I just want to kind of conclude this John Edwards story. And I know you have a quote for us. Okay. Let me see. So we were speaking about Jordan Edwards, a little young teenager, football star, straight A student. I mean, sounds like another Paul Robeson to me. I don't know if he was a linguist like Paul Robeson, but I mean, football star, beautiful, smile, loving, humble child, had his parents in the home with him over in old racist Box Spring, Texas. It seems like 23,000 people right outside of Dallas. And when I looked into the demographics of Box Spring, Texas, and that's why it's always good, I always suggest read multiple articles, research multiple sites when you're trying to find out some information, because a couple of websites, when I looked at the demographics, stated, like this one says 65.4% white, 19% black, American Indian, Alaska Native, 1.8%, Hispanic Latino, 25%. But then here's another record of statistics, of demographics, Hispanic, 56%, black, 23%, white,
18%. Ooh.
In Box Spring.
That's a big difference.
And that was a major difference. Now, according to, I believe, okay, according to the Washington Post, 8 out of 10 Box Springs police officers are white. So 4 out of 5 residents are not. Jordan was the youngest of 333 people shot and killed this year by police. Horrible. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. Now, if I can just speak briefly on another quick terrorist, let me just get all my terrorist activity out of the way. Another white terrorist in San Diego, man sitting up drunk, drinking his beer. I guess he gets mad and says, let me go kill some niggers. So he goes and starts shooting up people at this wedding party in San Diego. And the witnesses said that when he, let me get this man's name, Seelis, S-E-I-S-S-E-L-I-S, Peter Seelis, is that how you would pronounce that, Featherlight? Peter Seelis. Well, Peter Seelis, he was a white mechanic, calmly got his gun, went to a pool party, and proceeded to shoot 4 black women, 2 black men, and 1 Hispanic man, killing one of the women and critically injuring many others. And see, this is why I keep saying that if you have insurance or if you don't, go and see a therapist. I'm waiting on my insurance card to come in now so I can go see a therapist and put this on record that we are suffering from terroristic attacks as we always have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a shame that our great-grandparents and our ancestors suffered from this, and we're still subjected to this inhumane, horrific treatment, these attacks on our lives. We don't know if we can just be sitting down anywhere just like these people, and here comes some terrorist stabbing you.
That's a terrorist attack.
Shooting you.
No warning, just for no reason, just because you don't like somebody.
Firing into a car of teenagers with a shotgun. Insane. Last but not least, because I just have to bring it home for these people, because so many people, they just, you know, hey, remember when we were trying to talk to these young people about racism is not dead, we're not in a post-racial society, trying to explain to them and prepare them for what was to come, and these, some of these young people, and even some of the old ones, oh no, but especially the young people, oh no, you know, we don't live like that. Y'all living in the old slavery days. That's what they used to say. Y'all still
that's
living
in the past.
Slavery
Stop
days.
Bringing up the past.
That's in the past. Yeah, that's the past. We don't think like that no more. We get along with everybody now.
Mm.
Okay? Can we just all get along in honor of our machine? So at American University in D.C., students walked out of a town hall protest after this racial incident that took place. Taylor Dumpson, she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. That's a predominantly black female sorority. She started her position as Student Government Association president, and she's the first black woman to hold the office in the school's history. So when she became SGA president, do you know, can you believe that some students hung some bananas on some noose string? They formulated a noose-like string and hung some bananas from it at the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority's dorm, I believe it was, somewhere on campus. So students began to protest, and many of them went to obtain, like, university withdrawal forms and all of this. Let's see. Okay, here it is. Someone hung bananas from strings shaped like nooses at three locations on campus. Some of the bananas were marked with the letters AKA. Okay. The incident took place on the same day that Taylor Dumpson started her position. And a couple of other students spoke out, stating that someone threw rotten bananas into their dorm room prior to this incident. And on that same day, another student said someone placed a rotten banana in front of her dorm room and drew obscene images on her chalkboard. So they violated her space and vandalized her room. So the students had a protest. Now, I applaud them for having a protest. What I am disheartened about is the fact that, once again, black people have allowed other groups to attach their so-called struggle onto our struggle for liberation, okay, and freedom from all of these terroristic attacks that I've previously mentioned. So when I was reading the article, the students who met with the outgoing president spoke with him about the racial incident, but in addition to that, they wanted to speak to the president about divesting from fossil fuels, divesting from Israel, and hiring more people of color as professors. Listen, black people, keep all that bull crap separated, okay? Do not continue to allow people to jump on our bandwagon for liberation.
Yes.
No, you want to fight for divestment of fossil fuels, and that's an environmental issue. Go have your environmental protest. We just had the Earth Day, and it was another environmental march and rally that people just had. You just had yours. Now, no, don't come over here with that bullshit. Excuse my language. Don't come over here with that. We're talking about people having bananas thrown in their room and hanging from
bananas.
No, you go with the, there's already a group, I believe it's BDSM, that they're the activists for divesting for Israel. Go have that march. Stop trying to combine everything with our movement. That's our problem. That's what happened with the women's suffrage and the vote and all of that crap. No, that we always fall victim to that stuff. No,
Stop going down the same street. Oh my goodness.
And our
cause gets watered down or pushed out of the way altogether.
Always. When I read that, I said, you know what? This is so ridiculous. Why can't someone give the guidance that's needed? I hope maybe somebody will listen to this and share this with the students. Listen, this is a battle that we have been fighting for centuries. Do not let a fossil fuel activist and struggle fight join with this. No, that's separate. Let's keep it all separate. Because that's what happened with the Civil Rights Bill and affirmative action. Everybody's lumped in and included. And we still don't receive any kind of benefit. So, that's not a good move. I will talk more on that, but we have other topics to talk about. I mean, because that's like a whole show trying to enlighten people on that situation. They just don't understand. They just do not understand. Okay, Featherlight.
We need to study our past mistakes.
We really do.
Stop repeating them.
Absolutely. Any thoughts? I apologize. I didn't want to get too much off the subject and go into my tangent and be on my soapbox. But do you have any comments on any of those hot topics I shared, those stories? Any words of wisdom for these young people? Any words of wisdom for the young people?
What I just said is that we've been struggling for so long, and it would make so much sense for people to just look back and see what happened the last time, what happened this time, what mistakes did we make, what missteps did we take.
Yes.
What can we do to make this work this time instead of keep making the same mistakes year after year, decade after decade? I mean, we've got to do something different because what we've been doing hasn't worked. It hasn't worked, and we can't keep making the same mistakes. I mean, really?
I don't know. I'm telling you,
that's all I have.
Go see a therapist. Let's put it on record. And one other thing that I said I have to mention to the brothers, we really need for you to step up. We need for you to step up and protect us. Because we do not need to continue to live in this fear. So I am appealing to my brothers, please give us some protection. Because we can't go to the federal government and ask them for protection. So all we have is each other. So I'm asking my brothers if you could please do this challenge. I have a challenge. Maybe that's what we should call it, a challenge. One of those days that you watch your games, your football, your baseball, basketball, whatever it is, you watch your soccer, can you please relinquish one of those days? And still, you can gather with your brothers and all of that. But can you guys make one of those days a day for organizing, for protecting us? Can you please do that for us? Just one day. We're not even asking you to stop watching that bull crap because we know it's a part of your. That's just a part of what you do. That's just you. So I'm not even asking you just to leave the crap alone. You see how they hadn't? I don't think they picked up what's his name. Colin Kaepernick yet. I think NFL still hasn't signed him. Then I wanted to mention this other story about this Adam Jones, who plays for, I think, the Orioles. Oh, they called him all kind of niggas and threw peanuts at him and everything. Okay. This was what, just Monday? I think Monday? A game in Boston. Now, usually I've heard plenty of these types of stories when the soccer players play in different countries. They throw bananas at them, all kind of stuff. They had one guy crying. I'm like, okay, I mean, you didn't know racism existed? You didn't know that some people don't like you? Okay, he was crying out on the soccer field. But I have never heard that happen, like, so profoundly here in the States. But this baseball player, I think he's an outfielder, he said it's happened before, but this time he just had to speak up about it. So they threw peanuts at him when he was out on the field, called him niggers and all kinds of stuff. So what I'm saying is, brothers, can you please take one of these days? I know the playoffs are on. So when the playoffs are done, can we start this challenge where it's one day a week? Can you brothers get together? You just be the men on the street and figure out how you are going to take on the action like the brothers took action when the gangs were formed. I think like back in the 60s when the brothers actually formed, I think it was like Stone Rangers, when these guys actually formed gangs to protect the community because white guys were coming into our communities and busting our heads. So can you please do that? Please, let's talk about it. Because we're not trying to bash men. We want some protection, though. We would like that. We would appreciate it. And we, in turn, will protect you.
Right. Yes, we have.
Exactly. That's right. Let's protect each other. So, Featherlight, I know you have a quote to transition us, because I know that was quite heavy, but I just had to get that out because I want people to think about this and connect some of these dots. Because we have to do something different. So anyway, all right. Thank you.
When the past calls, don't answer. It has nothing new to say. So, do you go back to what you used to do or what your past relationships, anything that didn't work out, anything that caused you grief and trauma? Do you go back to it, or do you leave it in the past? So, when the past calls, don't answer, because it has nothing new to say. Thinking and obsessing about the past causes depression. Worrying about the future causes anxiety. Be mindful of where you are now. It's cool to prepare and plan for the future. We must do that. And it's good to learn from the actions of the past because they were lessons, as I said before. Learn from what happened in the past and go with that. And most importantly, show gratitude for right now. Once you show gratitude, grace will follow. They go hand in hand. The present is a gift befitting of its name. The future is not promised to us, and the past is dead and gone. It's a new day and it's a new you. That's my quote.
New day, new you. New day and new you. Don't let the past hold you captive.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about numerology. So numerology, as we know, is the study of numbers and the effect that they have on our daily lives. And basically the universe itself, because everything is energy, and researchers and scientists and ancients have figured out a way to calculate the energy into numbers. This is ancient. Numerology has been around since man. Ancients were able to figure out the number system, and at one time it wasn't even used for counting. Numerology was used by seers to see what was going to happen in the future. Kings and queens had these seers using the numbers to help them make very important decisions. A numerologist can use your birth name and your date of birth and read you like a book without setting eyes on you. It's a profound and reliable way to to study your experience in the world. From this study, you can uncover secrets that lead to self-knowledge. And self-knowledge is so, so very important. People can know a thousand things about somebody else, but if you know one thing about yourself that you can fix, it's worth much, much more. So when you study the numbers, your particular numbers, they really help you in aligning yourself with what's going to happen. It will help you make better choices in life. Now, words are energy, just like thought. Words are something that we consciously use every day. Words are a control system for our personal magic. And although it may seem obvious, but the most powerful word in your personal universe is your name. And as I said, words have energy. Your name has energy. And your name, when analyzed by arithmetic method, numerology, can help you understand how to give your actions the most power so that they bring the results that you want, rather than saying, oh, that's just the way it's going to be. So if you're not conscious of any of the potentials in your name, then you tend to make far too many choices based on the ideas and opinions of others. And some of these may not be in your best interest. So, let's talk about now a complete numerology report consists of 22 numbers, okay? They represent different aspects of your life. We'll talk about several of these numbers tonight, obviously not all of them, but some of the most important ones, like your life path, your expression number, your soul number, your soul urge number. That is your heart's desire. Sometimes we're so wrapped up in the world and trying to gain material things that we forget our heart desire. I really love listening to our recent guest, because he went a little past what the average entrepreneur thinks. Like, I got to get that money. I got to do it right now. I got to blah, 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 blah. And then he stepped back and said, and came from a totally different approach, and I can see him so successful in the years to come. So speaking of soul urge, if you avoid your soul urge, then you will wind up having what they call bad luck, because your soul urge is very important. So many of us don't know what our soul urge is, and when you get a report such as I have gotten and Black Rose has, then you will know what your soul urge is. And also, when you get a report, it will tell you what your challenge is. And it's not necessarily a bad thing when you think of challenge. It's more or less what can you do to make this work out better for you, because this is what you're currently doing. And it's so amazing to me, because in reading my report, and I'm still not finished with it, it's so in depth, I have to actually put it down, because I'm wondering, it's not that I don't believe in numerology, but I just didn't know it was so on point. It's actually as if this person has been walking with me closer than my mother, closer than my daughter, because my daughter may know this about me, but my mother knows this about me. And this numerology report is knowing this and this and this about me. And I'm thinking, wow, this is absolutely amazing. So let's get back to sharing some of what we have discovered. And by the way, all of this is fairly new to me. I am not a numerologist. I requested and paid for my complete report, and as a result, I got some programs that will help me do some reports for others. But so far as being a numerologist, no, I am not. So what I am sharing is what I have learned so far up to date. Now, let's talk about your name and what it tells about you. Do you have any questions so far, Black Rose? I'm just kind of...
I want to hear this part about what your name reveals.
Okay. Now, your everyday name. Your everyday name is the one you're usually called by. Sometimes the name you're known in business, it represents the general aspects of you that you choose to project to others. Okay. So you set an agenda for your interactions with them and with the world. The most important thing about your everyday name is that it's about your choice as to what aspect of you that you want to put on display. This may not be your birth name, but this is the name that you want people to call you. Okay, so that's different from your birth name, and it is not calculated. It is not used to calculate certain things like your soul urge and your personality and your life path. These aspects of you must be done using your birth name. That's why when you get a report, the numerologist will say, what is your birth name and what is the name that you go by? So you submit both of those names. And of course, you only submit one birth date. So your everyday name, though, is important because this is what you want people to see you at. For instance, the person's name may be Stacy Nicole Mason, and she'll say, but everybody calls me Nikki. So that's your, Nikki is your everyday name. Stacy Nicole is your birth name, and that is what's used on certain aspects of your numerology report. But that is not to say that your everyday name is not important, and it is used to, for instance, figure out your expression number. Now, your first name, it sometimes it may act as a shield to protect you or to hide something going on within you. It's like an interface that makes it easier to interact with others that help, and it helps simple aspects of social life from becoming too complicated. Your first name is one of the main choices that are made for you in your life. Whether or not you use it as it was given to you is also a choice. It's all about what and how you choose to give of yourself to others, whether they are close to you or members of the general public. Now, the middle name, some numerologists consider the middle name as the most important of the names that make up your total name, because the middle name represents the inner you. It may reveal some hidden talents that you may not be familiar with, you may not use, but it could also be about the goals toward which you are striving or the path that your usually unconscious choices are leading you toward. The middle name can describe some of the desires or motivations that you may sometimes be puzzled by. It can explain not only why you have them, but can also tell you how to honor them in such a way that you can increase your level of self-knowledge. So a lot of people, like the young guy that was just our guest, he made a point of telling us his middle name. Now that's interesting. He may not be into numerology, but his middle name will tell a lot about him, a lot about his inner self, if he were to get a report. Now, your last name, that is present already when you're born. So, it can be an origin point for major life lessons. But what's important is to realize it has much to do with the social energy that lays the groundwork for your beliefs and the way you behave in society. But this name you inherit. So, it's much like the quality of the year, the birth vibration. The year that you were born has a certain vibration. And so that's how the numbers are figured. The year that you're born is very important, and it is used in calculating your life path. If the last name you use has been adapted through marriage or some other circumstance, it has a special meaning. If you adopt a name outside of the family where your genetic heritage originates, you also adapt the vibrational qualities of that lineage. Isn't that interesting? Now, that's interesting because you get that vibration of that lineage. It may be interesting when you go changing your name. One way or another, it has to do with the history of your life that existed before you were born. Aha. Aha. You must realize that your last name has something to do with the relationship to your family. In some cases, the last name is not directly related to the vibrational quality that the male parent has passed on to you. It is related to a position in society that one holds. Last name is very important. Yes,
that is
important.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. So, the last name vibration is something you inherit by way of the rules of society, not something that was chosen for you and that you chose yourself. That is quite profound. That is quite profound because that is true. I did not choose that name. It was given to me. So that's the vibration that I inherited.
Hmm.
Now, there are nine primary numbers in numerology, 1 through 9. There are master numbers, 11, 22, 33, and 44. They have a special meaning and specific power. Now, when you figure your name, of course, your name has letters. There is a chart that you use to convert the letter to a number. And if our audience would like to get a pen and paper, I will be happy to share this information with you in just a minute. I'll give them a chance to get pen and paper because you asked me for that last week, but I hadn't gotten that call. So now I have it.
I was just saying now
your life path. Yes, I have. Your life path number is found by adding the month and day of your birth day together, adding them to the year and finding arithmetic. I've never seen this word before, so I'm having a choke. Arithmetic. Sum of this total. This number is so important because the date of birth cannot be changed. And in the Eastern world, it's often said to represent non-negotiable karma. So, of all the elements of your chart, of all the elements, I said there were 22 different elements, each relating to a different aspect of your life. It's so amazing that they have so many aspects. It's like 22 numbers I'm thinking. And I've got about three master numbers. I have 11, I have 22, I think I have 33. So that's awesome. Okay, so of all the elements of your chart, one stands alone when it comes to describing your circumstances through life. And this is your life path. And it's sometimes called the birth path. It represents both the situations and opportunities that are attracted to you as a result of your actions, and therefore the circumstances of the world through which you navigate. So this is what's coming to you based on what you have done. So this is your life path. Your life path number, I'll give it to you, is 7. Okay, so what we did, your month of birth is April. Do you mind giving your birth information? You want me to falsify it?
No, I can give it. My birth date is April the 12th, 1971. I take PayPal donations. That's the best thing to do, just donate via PayPal. At Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, gmail.com. All right, okay. Life path number 7.
Your path number is 7. So, we just added it. There is no number that cannot be broken down into one number. No matter how large it is, it can be broken down to one number, except the master numbers, which I just mentioned, 11, 22, 33, 44. But you keep adding them and adding them until you get 1. Your birthday is April 12th. 1 plus 2 gives us 3. Your year of birth is 1971. 1 plus 9 plus 7 plus 1 gives us 18. We had a 3 up there. Now we have 18. So we add 1 plus 8, and that gives us 9. So April, I forgot April. April is the 4th month. So you have 4. Then you have 3. And then you have 9. So your totals are 4, 3, and 9. To get our final answer, we add the 3 numbers together to give us 16. 1 plus 6 is what? 7. So that's how we came to 7. Your life path is 7. You are reserved, analytical, and peace-loving soul was blessed with intuition and intelligence. Your ability to concentrate, learn, and absorb information far outshines other numbers, and you often excel at all forms of classic. Usually your intellectual prowess, as well as
all
the clarity and foresight.
All forms of
usually,
what?
Usually, let's see, scholastic.
Oh, okay.
Scholastic. Am I not coming through? You're very smart. You're very intelligent.
No, okay. I heard you that time. You were just... I didn't hear you when you were reading it.
Okay. Okay. There we go. Okay. Usually your intellectual powers, as well as the clarity and foresight of mind, is very evident to others at an early age. However, at the same time, you're also a very spiritual number. This is because you believe wholeheartedly in the relationship between Mother Nature and science. This is part of your inquisitive nature and determination to get to the bottom of what makes the world tick. You dislike bragging, gossip, and neurotic individuals, and find socializing with them difficult. This is because you can barely hold back your contempt of other people who are often indeed acting like fools.
Oh, that's so true. Oh my God, I can't take it. That's my word.
That was,
I can't take it.
Evident
I'm
just
I
now.
Can't.
As you are so intelligent and intuitive, you almost always end up being in the right place at the right time. Number 7s tend to excel at any career that they choose, as they have the discipline and mental power to master anything in half the time of the other numbers. As they are so smart, they are also often very good with money and never make the mistake of letting compound interest work against them. If you are a 7, then you are the number that is probably the most reluctant to lend or borrow money. Your mind works at the speed of lightning, but often this makes it difficult for you to be understood by others. Others simply cannot evaluate and analyze information as fast as you do. You do whip it up. Some sevens have such quick minds that they have difficulty expressing themselves. One of your life path challenges is to learn how to slow down and accommodate those that may not be as smart as you, but may offer you emotional rewards in your life.
I do experience that.
Mm-hmm.
I experience that in some of my relationships.
Yes, the fact that you are so easily misunderstood makes social and love situations very challenging for you. Usually sevens suffer a great deal of rejection from their peers as they are seen as contentious and aloof. It's a common problem for sensitive sevens who can't understand why others don't appreciate how smart they are. You are happiest, see, when you are pursuing your innermost thoughts and inner dreams. You may also be interested in the occult or metaphysical matters, as well as science and anthropology. You have a degree in anthropology. See, guys, I'm telling you, archaeology and religion. And then you study religions in college. Many number sevens are great music lovers. That's true. It is an art form that blends math with spiritual qualities. Excellent. Excellent.
Love music.
Okay. That is very true. Now your your soul urge number. Now your soul urge number, this is calculated by adding the vowels, only the vowels of your birth name.
Okay.
The soul is the essence of who we are. And your life is projected out from your heart of hearts to get your inner world. Let me just go ahead and give your soul number. What is your soul number? Oh, your soul urge number is 8. What you desire to be, to have, and to do in your life. You are one of the most spiritual, complex, and misunderstood numbers. Your ability to create wealth often fills your life with difficult relationships. Others may try to take advantage of you or try to make you feel guilty for your success. You are probably used to being described as greedy or shallow, but usually the opposite is true. Often your devotion is keeping the free exchange of money flowing costs you dearly personally, either through overwork or thanklessness from others. In essence, your number is about exchange. The exchange of things for profit. Although you are materially oriented, you are not spiritually bereft. In fact, one of your more sophisticated spiritual qualities is your belief that all should be wealthy and that all should benefit your endeavor. The highest expression of your soul urge number is when you are at the top of the food chain and dispensing goodies down to those who work for you or love you. You are a very trustworthy individual who is entrusted often with the task of caring completely for other people's livelihoods, and this is a huge responsibility, and many simply don't understand the challenge. You're blessed with the tools that come in hand with being a great leader, foresight, analytical abilities, and a great understanding of human nature. Your ability to sell ice to an Eskimo. Didn't I say that? People don't know me. Your ability to sell ice to an Eskimo comes from a truly grounded and practical understanding of the wants and needs of humans. You are so good at that.
This is your gift.
You are very astute when it comes to choosing partners and employees. You always assign people to roles that best suit their talent and resources.
That's true.
and so that and that all benefit from your grand plan. And this is something else I wanted you to see before I let you go. Another soul energy that drives you is your need to demonstrate the circulation of love and prosperity in your life. If you're not making money, it seems to you like you're not being favored by the gods, that you are on the wrong path. Like Feng Shui masters, you see the circulation of wealth in your life as evidence that love is blossoming in your life as well. This is because you are equally concerned with attaining spiritual riches as well as you are material riches. You are always, there was something in here. It must have been another number, that you are able to find talent. Oh, here's another page. Many of your natural-born feng shui masters and have innate understanding of the use of space. You're always talking about your space. For your beauty is a matter of form following function. So it is useful, it is beautiful to you. This is why so many eights end up funding the design of grand buildings or malls or creating large corporations or organizations. Oh. You are the one who knows how to divide up a single fish to feed thousands. You are also an extraordinarily kind person, and one of your challenges may be about deciding who is a good risk to lend money to or not. For this reason, you could always expect some losses in your life due to the lending of money. And your highest spiritual calling is to forgive the debt and realize that others simply don't have the same natural knack for creating wealth that you do. And that's your number eight.
That's my number eight.
So be it.
And I could. You had another number.
Yeah, how does that, how do you feel about those two numbers? You have so many more, but those particular two.
I would say quite accurate. A lot of the information that you shared, I definitely could see many of those specifics and attributes and details in my life. Totally. Something that you mentioned in specific, I know how to assign tasks to people based on their talents. I can do that extremely well because I listen to people. I always say that I listen to people. I find out what they like, what are they good at, what's a good fit for them. I know because I listen to them. I just listen. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, you would be good mm-hmm. at such and such. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm very mm-hmm. good at that. And I'm very good at helping people bring out the. I'm very good at helping people bring out the best in themselves. I know how to reach mm-hmm. down in there and bring it out of somebody. And that's
you
true
do.
Education.
You really do.
That's how you do. Yes, I know how to bring it out. Like, okay, you have it in you. I see it. I'm going to help bring it out. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need to go into our African spirit, but thank you so much, Feather Life, for sharing that numerology. Mm-hmm. And we can always touch on some pieces on the numerology because it's so detailed.
It is.
Oh, let me just run through this. So, yeah, it's quite detailed. So many aspects to it.
So in depth.
Okay. And it's not anything spooky and foolish like some.
No, it's not.
Like,
it's not. The ancients did it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Numbers are very, very important.
They're
very
important.
Significant in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Very significant. So, our African spirit honoree tonight, Feather Light, is Dr. John Hewitt Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's one of my favorites because we always speak about one of my favorites for the African spirit segment. I just love to do that. John Henry Clark was born January the 1st, 1915, in Union Springs, Alabama. He died July 16th, 1998, in Manhattan, New York. His spouse was Billy Williams. Let's see. John Henry Clark was born New Year's Day. On New Year's Day, that's easy for me to remember. I can always think starting the year out.
I can listen to some John Henry Clark. His family came from a long line of sharecroppers, and they moved to Columbus, Georgia when he was 4. And let's see, he is the author of numerous books. I remember being introduced to John Henry Clark, I think, by listening to the Black Consciousness website. And once I started listening to some of his lectures, I was like, oh, Dr. Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and Dr. Leonard Jeffries, they became some of my absolute favorites and go-tos to just gain some understanding of our history. And let's see, I want to read a quote by him. One thing that Dr. John Henry Clark said was he found that the history of his, he couldn't find any history of Black people, like in the Bible, but he knew that these scriptures were written in the area of Africa. But he was like, how come I don't see any pictures of my people? And he tells a story, too, of how he went to the Arthur Schomburg Center, wanted to just get a quick synopsis of African history. And Arthur Schomburg told him that, you know, you would have to take time and study your oppressor, and then study your history, and you'll gain more enlightenment to African history. And let's see, just a second. He said that the so-called Dark Ages were dark only for Europe, and that some African nations at that time were larger than any in Europe. That as Africa sends its children to Europe to study, because that is where the best universities are, early Greece once sent its children to Africa to study, because that was where the best universities were located. Let's see. Here's my quote I want to read. Okay, here's a quote. John Henry Clark. Powerful people cannot afford to educate the people that they oppress, because once you are truly educated, you will not ask for power. You will take it. And I so believe in that. That's why I'm always an advocate.
I do, too.
Homeschool your children. Teach your children at home. You are the first educators for your children. So, I don't think we're going to have time enough to play our clip, so maybe next week we can play
we do.
John Henry Clark. Well, it's 5 minutes till the clip is like 10 minutes. So we can go ahead and close on out. We can come back with John Henry Clark. I mean, I could just play his clip all day. We will share one of his clips on next week. So would you like to close us out with a love the body and breathing?
Sure. I will do a breathing. Let's see what comes. Okay. I wanted to share this brief information about breathing before we do our breathing pranayama for the night. The nostrils are very important to how we act, how we behave. A lot of people are not aware of the fact that your nostrils are linked to your brain. The left side of the left nostril is linked to the right hemisphere of the brain. And it's the feminine side. It brings calming, it brings sensitivity, empathy, receptivity, and it's about rest and recuperation, which we need. And the right side of the nostril, I'm sorry, the left nostril is linked to the right hemisphere, the right side is linked to the left hemisphere. And it's signs of you're prepared. It's the male side. You are prepared. You're on guard. It's the flight or
fight mode. Willpower, alertness, vigor, it's warming. So these nostrils, they change from time to time. They switch for approximately 2.5 hours. The left nostril is dominant, and then it switches. So it goes back and forth. So it's important that we balance this, because too much on the feminine side, to become too rested, almost to a state of depression. You don't have any kind of activity on the other end of the spectrum. If it's too the male side is too dominant, you become hypervigilant. The signs of stress, so you go into the extreme. So it has to be balanced. So we're going to do square breathing tonight, which is a balancing. We're going to do 4 inhales, hold it for 4, and exhale for 4, and rest for 4. So it's going to be 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Okay? So it's called square breathing. Anytime you feel stress, anxiety, it balances you. Okay? So we're going to start with the inhale. We're going to inhale 4, pause, exhale 4, pause, and then start it again. All right? Let's start. Inhale, hold, exhale, hold, inhale, hold, exhale, hold, more time, inhale, hold, exhale. Now, raise up your shoulders. I forgot to tell you that first. I was trying to beat the time. Raise your shoulders up. Drop them. Invite any areas that are still tense to just relax. Your body listens to everything you say. If you say, I have a headache, the body will say, oh, yeah, we sure do. So invite your body to relax. Take your body. Take another deep breath just from your stomach. Inhale one big time and release. One more time. Inhale. Release all the toxins and negativity from you. Shake it off. Thank you for participating in the pranayama technique of breathing. Namaste. Namaste. Namaste to you, Feather Light. Namaste to our listeners. And we sure appreciate that relaxing pranayama, Feather Light. It totally helps me at the end of the night after the show, after a long day. So I encourage everyone to try some pranayama. Relax and breathe.
Yes, it's very beneficial. It's actually healing.
Very healing.
All right, so before we go, wait. Oh, I'll give it to next time. I didn't give the numbers. I didn't give the code for the letters, but I guess I'll give it to next time.
All right. Peace and good night. Namaste.
Namaste.